welcome to How to Make a Memory, the show that explores the items we make for one another and how they impact our relationships. My name is Jen Tierney, and I wasn't actually planning on making an episode, but the inspiration came to me suddenly out of nowhere, and I decided to sit down and make an episode to share with you this holiday season. So you'll have to excuse my voice. I am getting over a cold, but I think that that's always going to be the case for the next few months as my kids are in daycare, and that's just the nature of the nature of the beast. So this episode is going to divert quite drastically from previous ones in format and in general feel. I don't have a guest for this episode. My guest is myself. And I have done zero planning for this episode as well. So we're going to see how it goes. It could be brilliant. It could be terrible. Either way, I'm sure you're glad to randomly see me pop up in your podcast feed. If you're still subscribed, thank you. Bless you. You're a saint. So since the last time I recorded, I had a third child, and he's lovely. He's 6 months old now, and we're getting close to Christmas, and I was thinking about my dad today quite a bit. It's been about a year and a half since he passed away, and I think when he passed away, it sort of shifted pretty drastically my plans for this podcast. You know, it was the first time I had lost someone so close to me. And the whole purpose of this podcast from the beginning was to capture stories from important people in my life. I think losing my father before I had a chance to interview him for the show really hit me hard and took a lot of the wind out of my sails. So it seems kind of fitting that the idea for this episode struck me just now as I was thinking about him. And I thought I'd make an episode for my dad, even though he's not around. And even though he wasn't able to be on the show himself, I can talk about something that is a very powerful memory that I have about him that has to do with Christmas. And since we're heading towards Christmas now, I thought it was a perfect time to share this story and to talk about him a little bit. When I was in high school, and I wanted to make something for my dad for Christmas. And I wasn't sure what I was going to make initially, but I knew that one of the things that tied us really closely together was music. And for me, that meant singing. I played the flute a little bit, but primarily I enjoyed singing. And my dad played piano, so often he'd play and I'd sing. Sometimes we would work on songs together. I think my dad was really encouraging. He came to every performance I ever had, and he always made me feel like I was a lot better than I probably was and encouraged me in a way that was probably above and beyond what what he should have given my actual level of talent. And I always felt very comfortable and proud to sing in front of him. I was very nervous to sing in front of people, but for some reason, I never felt that way with my dad because I'd sung in front of him since I was very little. And so the stage fright wasn't there when I was with him. So what I decided to do was make a Christmas album for him. So I sat down, and this was in the era of mixtapes, so it was very much like I used to love making mixtapes, and I'd make them for friends and for family, and I'd pick out all these songs that, you know, really captured a message I was trying to get across to them, be it, oh, I have a crush on you, or you're my mom and I care about you so much, and here's a bunch of songs for Mother's Day, or, you know, whatever the theme was. And so for my dad, I wanted to capture our relationship, especially because I was going to be going to college soon. I wanted to capture our relationship in an album, in a series of songs, and I wanted to sing them. And that was really important to me. And I wasn't sure how I was going to do it, but I was like, I'm going to figure it out. I'll make it work. So I went and I spoke with my choir teacher, Warren Helms, who was also a huge cheerleader of mine. He always made me feel like I was destined for greatness when I sang, which was really lovely as a teenager. And I told him about my idea, and he said, all right, let's do it. And he got a keyboard in the back of the choir room, and it was during class. There were kids in the choir room. And he said, let's go into the back room where they have all the sheet music. And he put somebody else in charge of the class because it was one of the last days before Christmas break. So we were all like just goofing around anyway. And he went into the back with me and we recorded this album together. And it had 9 songs on it. And he and I recorded 8 together in the 45-minute period that this class was in. So it was, we sped through it and did every song in one take. And I was so over the moon with how it came out. It just captured that moment. It was a spur of the moment decision. It was something I just had to do and wanted to do, sort of like this episode. Like, it just came to me and I sat down and was like, I'm gonna make this. And so I had this cassette tape, because that was how we recorded it, on like a little tape deck recording thing. And so I took it home and I wrapped it up and I gave it to my dad on Christmas morning. And I don't know, it was one of the greatest gift-giving experiences of my life. I was so happy and proud to give it to him. And I think that it wasn't in his nature to be emotional about gifts that were given to him. He loved giving gifts. He wasn't the kind of person who I think you had to really try hard to get him a gift that would really have an impact. And I can only think of a handful of gifts that he's been given over the years where he really seemed to be affected by it. And this was one of them. So he, being the proud dad that he is, he put it directly into the tape deck and wanted to listen to it. And I was super embarrassed because the rest of my family was there, and there goes my stage fright, and I was very worried about them all hearing it. But he put it on, and I like ran around the corner and sat on the steps so that I could listen to it without seeing everybody else listening to it. And I could hear my dad hearing the album, and I could hear him, you know, sigh happily at certain points and get a little bit weepy when something particularly meaningful came on. And it was so gratifying and so lovely and really a special moment. So I give him this tape. He's very happy with it. I'm very happy with it. I listened to it once or twice, maybe all the way through. And a couple weeks go by, maybe even a couple months. And I asked my dad, hey, I realized that I didn't make a copy of that tape, and I'd really love to have a copy of the tape for myself when I go off to college or whatever. I'd love to be able to hear that because it captured so perfectly that very specific moment in my life. And I just want to have it. And he sort of deflected and didn't say, oh yeah, sure, I'll go get it, no problem. And I forgot about it, and a few weeks later I asked him about it again, and he said, yeah, I've been looking for it. I think it might be in my office. I'll go look for it. And, you know, tomorrow when I go in, I'll take a look. And I was like, okay. So I asked again a few weeks after that, and he said, oh, I haven't been able to find it yet. And I then went on this years-long quest to find the tape because it was just missing. It was gone. I don't know where it went, but it was just gone. My mom has a theory that it was left in a rental car tape deck and that it's just, you know, since been thrown away or, you know, lost to the ether of time. Who knows? But I keep holding out this hope that it's going to turn up one day, that one day I'll find it at the bottom of a box or whatever. So every time I am looking for something or I'm going through a box of old items from my childhood, if I see a cassette tape, I immediately go and find somewhere to listen to it so that I can see if it's the long lost missing tape, because obviously it wasn't labeled. So it's just a rogue tape out in the world. So I think that my dad carried around a lot of guilt for this. I think he really regretted having lost it. And he wouldn't say as much to me because he was a very proud man. And I think he sort of had a more angry response when I questioned him about it than one that was of sorrow and regret. But I think in hindsight, that was him being really upset with himself for having lost it. And I think I was really hard on him for having lost it too. But now that I have some distance from it, and now that he's been gone for a year and a half, I was thinking about it today, and I went down into my basement because I remembered that even though I don't have the tape itself, I did have the track list on the little insert that was inside of the cassette case. There was an insert, and I had written in my very high school girl block letters all of the tracks. And so I came downstairs just about 30 minutes ago, and I found this track listing, and I looked at some of the songs that I had put on this album, and it made me think about that time and my relationship with my dad in a very different way than I have in recent memory. I think that I had picked songs that I thought that he would like, but more than that, I picked songs that had a real meaning, that maybe weren't my favorite songs, and maybe even weren't his favorite songs, but to me really captured some part of my relationship to him and what I was grateful for and how I thought my love for him would be best expressed. So a lot of these songs are, I mean, if you know every song on this tape, you're probably Stearns Matthews. who was a big part of my life at the time that I was recording it. They're a very strange set of songs. I think that a lot of them are very niche. They're not widely known pop songs for sure. They're like Broadway standards, things from obscure musicals. But I thought I'd go through the track list real quick and sort of give a little bit of explanation and sort of remake this holiday album that I made for my dad in the best way that I can. So the first song on the album is called Somewhere Out There. It's from An American Tale. And if my dad and I had a song, this was our song. If we had a theme song, this was our theme song. When I was very little, when I was a little kid, my dad and I recorded this song together at Universal Studios. There was a karaoke bar there, and you could go in and pick a song and record it. And he and I went in and looked through their binder with all their song choices, and we landed on Somewhere Out There because we loved watching An American Tale together, and we knew the words. And so he and I recorded this song. My mom sang some backup. It was a very vivid memory, very meaningful experience. And when we were done, they liked our recording so much, or, you know, it was just something that they did every so often. The people who ran the studio decided to play what we had just recorded throughout the whole park. So everybody heard it who was in the park that day. And it was a very magical experience. And we got a copy of the tape, and I still have a copy of the original copy from, you know, the early 90s. And so the first song on the album is me singing the song in the choir room. It's me sort of redoing the song on my own as a solo, not as a duet. It's originally a duet. And I really just wanted to start off the album with a song that he knew and a song that was important and meaningful to us. And so that was what I went with. The second song on the album is Wind Beneath My Wings, which is not one of my favorite songs at all. I don't even know if my dad likes it very much, but the lyrics are just, I don't know if there is a song that better captures a daughter talking about a supportive father. And so it just seemed really fitting, and I decided to put it on there. So the next song that I did is a song called The Rose. And I think that the reason I chose it was because it's a very simple song. It's a song that describes love and how complex it is, how it can be beautiful, but it can also be dangerous and frightening and heartbreaking. And I think that when you have a complex relationship with someone, like I had with my dad, it just felt like a song that could speak a little more to the complications and to why there's beauty in those complications. And it was a song that I had sung for a recital. And so it was maybe one of my first recitals. And so I knew that it had that meaning from that as well. So then I have a couple songs that I did from more obscure musicals. The first one is Time Heals Everything, which is from a very unknown musical called Mac and Mabel. And again, it's a song about being heartbroken and about how hard it is to get over the loss of someone, the loss of a relationship, and how the only way to do it is through time. And I have always, for some reason, associated this song with my dad. I think that this recording of it is the only time he ever heard me sing it. But whenever I hear it, I always think of him. And when I arrived at the hospital, just 20 or 30 minutes after he had passed away, I had been thinking about the song all day as I drove to get to where he was. And while I stood there alone in the hospital, in the hospital room, my mom and my brothers had gone outside, and I sat there and I held his hand and I sang him Time Heals Everything. You probably have never heard the song, but the lyrics are time heals everything but loving you. So I think that part of the reason why the song felt appropriate for that moment and always reminded me of my dad was that there's probably no amount of time. And this is probably true for most people when they lose someone who's really, really close to them. There's sort of time can help with things, but it will never truly heal that kind of loss, that kind of grief. It just makes it a little bit easier, I think. All right, so the next song that I put on the album is called Body Electric, which is from the musical Fame. It was one of the only shows I ever did outside of high school. And I was in the chorus, and I had terrible, like really bad stage fright. And one of the nights that my family came to see the show, I had an extremely bad panic attack right before sort of like this big final moment of the show where we sang this song called Body Electric. And I always felt a lot of shame afterwards that I couldn't make it onto the stage. Thank goodness I was only a chorus member and they could completely do the song without me. I just felt terrible that my dad had sat there through the show and was there in the audience. And when it was time to see this big number with his daughter in it, I just wasn't on the stage and show. So I put the song onto the album because I wanted him to have an opportunity to hear me sing it because he hadn't. The next song is called I Promise You a Happy Ending, which is also from Mac and Mabel. I sort of always see those two songs, Time Heals Everything and I Promise You a Happy Ending, as these two songs that go together in my mind. I can't think of one without the other. I can't sing one without the other. And so they both ended up on this tape. And I Promise You a Happy Ending is the last song of a tragedy. The musical is a tragedy. It has a very sad ending. And it's really this song about, well, all these bad things have happened. Nothing is ending the way it should. Everything is ending in tragedy, but I'm going to somehow rewrite what has happened so that I can give you the happy ending that you deserve. And I think that when you know someone or you know a situation that is hard, you just want to make a happy ending for that person. So that was always something that I wanted my dad to know, is that I wanted his life to be full of happiness. And so that was what I was hoping to get across with that song. So the next one I did was called I Believe in You, which is from How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And it was the first show I ever saw on Broadway, so it has always held a special place in my heart. I guess what I was trying to do was to sort of flip the Wind Beneath My Wings message. So Wind Beneath My Wings has this message of someone being supported by someone else. And I Believe in You is very much the opposite of, you know, here I am believing in you. I am supporting you now. And I think that I wanted my dad to know that that was a two-way street, that as much as he supported and loved me, I was also trying to do the same for him, even though I think it's harder for a child to do that for their parent than it is for a parent to do for a child. So the penultimate song on the tape was Someone to Watch Over Me, which is an excellent old standard, Gershwin standard. And I've always just loved that song. I performed it a few times as a teenager, and I really enjoyed singing it. I still enjoy singing it. I sing it in the car a lot. And even though the song is originally, I believe, meant to be a romantic song, I think that it captures what it feels like to be a young woman who's looking for a father figure, or who is dependent upon a father figure to support them, to love them, to take care of them. And I also just thought it was a really beautiful song, and so I put it on there. So then finally, the last song on the tape, I did not record in the choir room that day. I went and I took the original recording of Somewhere Out There that we had made when I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, and I re-recorded it. I sort of recorded the original onto the new tape, so it was a copy of the original. And I wanted to end with that song because it was the first song. It was the song that really captured my relationship with my dad, but it was the original version of it, of me as a small child. And I wanted him to know how much that still meant to me. And when he had passed away, it was in July, and then we had a celebration of life event for him in October, which is when he would have turned 70. And so it would have been his 70th birthday party, but then we had made it this celebration of life event instead. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to eulogize my dad, because it just seemed like an impossible task. And so what I decided to do was find the original Somewhere Out There tape that we had created all those years ago. And I had to do a tremendous amount of digging because it had been packed up in different boxes, moved to different houses and all sorts of stuff. And so it became this labor of love to find this tape. I found the tape, I digitized it, I cleaned up the audio, and I made it somewhat listenable. And then the night before the celebration of life, I sat down and I wrote, a 1.5-page eulogy about this song and this tape and recording it with my dad when I was a kid. And then I played the tape for everyone. I played the recording that I had made and doctored up because because time had warped the tape, the original tape, so badly. When I got married, it was the song that we danced to, and we sang it together at the wedding. It's where all of my happy memories with him live. They live in that song. So it was very fitting that that was the last song that ended up on the tape. So yeah, that's everything that was on the tape. I really just wanted to talk through it. I wanted to talk through making it originally, thinking about it over time, how I've come back to it as part of my grief journey, and how I've softened on it unexpectedly. over time. I'm not really mad about it anymore that it was lost. I'm glad that I have the track listing. I'm glad that I can remember making it. I'm glad that I can remember the significance behind all of the songs and why I chose them. I'm glad I can remember my dad listening to it the first time. And so I guess I wanted to record this episode to remember him and to remember this thing that I made for him. So I need to give a quick thank you to my podcasting buddy, Mark Stedman, who has recorded a few original songs himself and is about to come out with a song for Christmas on December 13th of 2019. He's coming out with a song. If you go to, you can find him online. You either look up Mark Stedman or Barnard Star. That's his pen name, the name he records his music under. And I was listening to a little clip, a little sneak peek clip from this new song that he's got coming out. And it just reminded me of recording this tape for my dad. And so I have to thank him for recording his own Christmas song and for releasing it to the world and for inspiring me to sit down and make this episode. I feel like a weight is lifted off of me, being able to sit down and process these memories a bit and have an opportunity to remember my dad in this really unique and fond way. So thank you, Mark. Another little piece of housekeeping before I wrap up the episode. I have a new podcast that's coming out. I'm so excited about it. It's going to be great. It's coming out in the next few weeks. And it's something I'm recording with my sister-in-law, Diane, who was on a previous episode of How to Make a Memory. She was on the episode How to Make a Legacy, where she talked about her mom. And we're creating this new show called Our Parents Did What? And it's a show about the history of parenting and child rearing. And it's hilarious, and she's lovely, and I'm very excited for it and to share it with all of you. So go take a look for it. You can subscribe now, and we'll have episodes coming out in the next few weeks. Well, that's it for me. I'm not sure when the next episode will be. It may be in a few months or in a few years, or who knows? This could be the last one. I have a few more interviews that I've recorded, so hopefully I'll get those edited and out because they were really fun to do. I just need to make the time to edit them. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. I hope that you enjoyed this totally different approach to the show, and I hope you enjoy the holiday season. And with that, go make something for someone you love.